Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think you're a good guy.
I found it hard to get Nate, so I summarized some impressions.
Oh, right. Smart. Really good, Shiv. But you lied.
Oh.
Right? She didn't get anything from Nate.
Really?
She didn't speak to Nate. And she's in with Madsen.
Sorry, what?
Succession, Season 4, Episode 8, America Decides, and Yellowjackets, Season 2, Episode 7, Burial, are both over, but we are just getting started, making them fight each other here in the PSR versus Arena. That's right, it's the return of Post-Show Recaps versus for another week of carnage. Total mayhem here on the Versus podcast. I'm Josh Wigler. I'm joined here by LaTanya Starks. So, like, do we have to do this one?
I would rather not.
I would prefer not to.
I would prefer
not to. Exercising my Bartleby clause.
Yeah.
We all have one that we're allowed to exercise on post-show recaps.
Exactly.
I'm skipping this week.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
What if we just released that? It was like, wait, was there a glitch? This podcast says it's only 2 minutes long.
No. This is the podcast.
Yes.
You heard it here.
Let me make it official. Buzz off. No, yeah. Just kidding. We're still going. We're going to do the thing. Of course, We're talking about two stressful episodes of TV. One of the most stressful, triggering episodes of TV I can remember in quite some time. And we're gonna talk it through. We're going to talk it in relation to the other show. It's Succession versus Yellowjackets. So we'll talk about them in tandem. We'll make them fight. First, we'll talk through each of them, get LaTanya's takes. I haven't talked Yellowjackets, so we will put some fresh takes out there on to the internet. Of course, as always, if you are not subscribed to Versus, you should do this. Go to postshowrecaps.com/versus. That's the RSS link. When you search by URL on your podcast player of choice, you could also just search Post Show Recaps Versus. You'll find us. You'll see the sweet, sweet logo cooked up by Tricky Rice. Really great stuff. It's purple. It's green. Feels kind of Hulkish with some like electrical currents. It's really dope. You should check it out. PostShowRecaps.com/versus again is that RSS link. That way you will find us whenever we do a Versus post Succession and Yellowjackets, because LaTanya, this is the anti-penultimate week of Succession versus Yellow Jackets is really just hurrying along over here.
It's going too quickly for my personal taste. I would like more of these shows. And the fact that Succession is ending, like this is just going to be the last episode ever at the end of this season, I still haven't come to grips with that. I think that's a death that I have not processed.
Yeah. See, I don't think I have either, but right now in my current state, I'm like, all right. Yeah. Okay.
You're very Roman Roy about like, it. You pre-grieve.
Is it going to end? And it's like, okay. You know, maybe I need to just a breath. So yeah. That's all right. That's all right. I say that very lovingly. Very lovingly, with lots of reverence for the creation of that show.
When you look at yourself, what do you see?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Try again. The truth is all around you. You refuse to see it. You're looking at the floor when you should look at the magic. How much do we all count on you? How many times did you get the ball over the goal line? Take it from a bird named after a Roman emperor who was also unjustly accused of heinous acts. You are not a murderer, Misty. You're a closer.
We got to talk about Yellow Jackets first. Yeah. Because Yellow Jackets won the week big time last week. And as per the rules and tradition, that means Yellow Jackets kicks off the conversation here. Season 2, Episode 7, Burial. The aftermath of the death of Shauna's child and the exploration of a whole lot of grief. Speaking of pre- and post-grieving, I think in both timelines, LT, this was a riveting one because we got to see the Yellow Jackets adults all together. And yeah. The more things change, I think, is some of the vibe on this one.
Yeah, we got some. I can't wait to talk about the musical numbers.
Yeah. again, another week where it's just like, okay, we don't even have to talk through the music category. Yeah. That's a very clear win for Yellow Jackets. Let's just do it really quickly right now. Something in the way. What is this, Batman?
I know. First of all, I always get really excited when there's a Nirvana song in any show or movie because Courtney Love is like so precious about that like category or catalog, I mean,
yeah,
and who she allows to use it, and so
feels like a blessing, right?
Yeah, so I know that Courtney Love has been watching Yellow Jackets, what that tells me, and that makes me happy. But then the lyrics are so like prescient in terms of what's going on this show. It's just about someone who's living under a bridge and like drinking the water that filters in, and all the things I've trapped have become my pets. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's weird. There was a new version of the theme song yet again. And this one was like kind of sad.
Was that not Alanis?
I don't know if that was Alanis or not. What I wrote down was funky version of the theme song.
Yeah, I know it was definitely a different version.
Yes.
It's interesting how they keep changing the theme song from week to week.
Yes. It changes a little bit here and there. I'm trying to see if I could find out who did it this week. No, your podcast didn't break. It's just me going wee for a little while longer. Yeah, I don't think I'm finding it. So
what is this, week 7?
Let it go. I do think it was Alanis again.
Yeah, I think it sounded like her.
Yeah, but it was like now this time, finally, it was like maybe they listened to the Versus podcast. We're like, you can't change the instrumentation. That's so offensive to the people who made the song. They're like, okay, well, we'll do the whole thing different then. So like,
we'll just do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah.
What else was in there? Lightning crashes.
Lightning crashes was in there.
I could feel that.
I could feel it coming back again.
Yeah.
There was 2 Florence and the Machine songs.
Yep.
And then we got a musical number featuring Caligula.
Yeah.
Played by John Cameron Mitchell, who is a delight.
Yes.
He is the creator of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. For those of you all who do not know, he played Caligula this week on the show. I still haven't gotten over the fact that she named her bird after like a Roman fascist.
Yeah. What are we talking about? Which show when we're talking about Roman fascists?
That's a good point.
Very, very hard to know. Yeah, this episode has a sequence that really is sort of exactly in my Q zone.
Twin Peaks.
The peaks of it all. Very Lynchian and very Red Room specifically. Like we're in the Black Lodge with Misty. I feel like the imagery is like very evocative of Laura Palmer as well, which makes me nervous about Misty.
I know.
Maybe also that she's like floating in water while she's having this. Sorry for the Twin Peaks spoilers, folks, but you get all that in the first scene or two of the very first Twin Peaks. But yeah, it was like ripped straight out of that while she was in, you know, like a Pacific Northwest looking place, even though I think it's central New York where they
That's
are
where it was supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, but it was a very strange sequence that I felt like part of me was like, am I being pandered to? And then the other part of me was like, shut up, man, and watch them dance. Elijah Woods in a top hat. Relax. Yes.
He's tapping out I love you to in Morse code to Misty as she talks on a lips phone.
It's great. It's great.
Just that's a sentence that sounds like a stroke victim or something. Like no. I don't know. Like
It's what happened. So Yellow Jackets was weird this week. And then it was really depressing in a lot of places too.
Yes.
Man, someone give Coach Ben a break. Really? Poor Coach Ben.
Like, and everyone is way too tied up in their own individual things to even notice what's going on with him.
Well, he's an adult, you know, so they're like, you're the one who has to have it together.
He clearly doesn't have it together, though.
No.
And only Travis seems to have noticed, but only briefly, because then his brother came back out of nowhere, and he's kind of got that to deal with.
Travis has bigger issues at the moment, but... Yeah. The scene with Coach Ben and his boyfriend, whose name I am blanking on right now,
even though he yelled it, I can't remember what it is.
He's being told to get the F out of here. You don't belong here.
Yeah.
You're not wanted here. What is this plane of existence that he's accessing? Is that the afterlife? Is the wilderness like just on like the borderlines between being alive and being dead? Because this is like what Laura Lee saw. This is, you know, Lottie has glimpsed this world before Jackie saw it before she died.
There's something going on in the wilderness. Maybe the gods of the wilderness are speaking to different people individually. And Coach Ben might sacrifice himself for the quote-unquote greater good.
Yeah, well, he was thinking about it, and then Misty came along and said words
Misty,
at Coach Ben.
Like, Misty is out of control.
In both timelines. Yeah.
She's just, like, casually talking to Shauna about murder in earshot of who knows.
Yep.
And she says some really terrible things to Coach Ben about what she would tell people when they all got rescued if he killed himself.
It's very rare to like hear I'm gonna eat your butt as like
your very high calorie butt meat.
Like I'm gonna eat your high calorie butt meat as like a means of getting somebody to like stick around. That I didn't know was in I wonder if that is what's being uncovered in the forage section of Lottie's therapeutic practices,
because we otherwise
don't really know what the foraging was.
No,
Van just went to the van and got some booze.
I don't blame Van. I'm not gonna forage. I'm just not gonna do it.
Self-care, guidance, forage, renewal. Are these therapeutic practices or Dungeons and Dragons spells? Hard to know.
Both.
Yeah. Self-care.
Have you seen the D&D movie, by the way?
I did. I actually just watched it not long ago. I thought it was very fun.
Loved it.
Yeah, real fun.
Loved it.
Real fun. Really good time. Self-care involves hanging out with a little goat named Bruce.
Taking care of a kid named Bruce.
Yeah.
A boy kid.
Yeah.
Not triggering at all for Shauna.
Nope. So that's a lot. Renewal is what? You're just painting?
I don't understand.
Hardware that restoration?
I think that you're just supposed to realize that in the grand scheme of things, you can accomplish very little alone.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Because she's just, she has like a makeup brush. She doesn't even have a real brush.
Yeah. So there was that. We don't know what Forage is. And then Guidance, Lottie's favorite. She's like, gosh, I love Guidance.
Love Guidance.
Going to the sensory deprivation tank. Would you do something like this?
I would be very much like Misty. And I would be like, okay, so this thing doesn't lock.
Uh-huh.
No one's going to bother me.
Yeah.
Has it been cleaned? Like, I would have some questions, but if my therapist recommended it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that ultimately I would do it and not be excited about it going into it. And then right. I would probably come out of it being like, you got to go in the bath.
Exactly. Yeah.
You must take the bath.
You must.
Go to the bath. You must. Yeah. I think that's probably how it would work out for me. Out in the wilderness, there's some interesting therapeutic practices called beating the shit out of Lottie.
Oh, my God.
Shauna just going to town, LT.
She almost killed her.
Rough. Yes.
And no one did anything about it. They all just stood around and watched. What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had this feeling of while watching that scene that, like, obviously, like, it's just so messed up. There was then a part of me that's like, but Lottie's going to be okay because she's alive in the present day. And so I had this fleeting moment of, does this show have stakes in the wilderness storyline when you know, like, you could probably guess who lived, well, you know who lives for sure, but you could probably guess, like, who among them definitively dies and, like, who's arcing towards Pit Girl or whatever. And then I thought about it a little bit more, and the fact that Lottie will live through that, the fact that Shauna will live through that, that they are going to have those accumulations of experiences, whether they remember them or not. That was such an interesting conversation of like, do you guys remember everything? And like some of it, but others blurred, that we're just going to be forced to watch the accumulation of all of this trauma.
Yeah.
That is almost worse, actually, than like wondering if this person's going to live through this or not. Like almost like knowing like, oh, no, you're going to be taking that really, really far.
Yeah. And Lottie's language when she was talking to the, I called it not on this podcast, but in the Discord, the non-existent therapist.
Right. Yeah.
Was some like she said something to the effect of a lot of them are here, meaning there has to be others.
Interesting. I did not clock that. Oof. Yeah. Okay.
So
who
I think
made it out of here.
I think there are stakes. Uh-huh. I don't know who else made it, but you know, having to see the emotional heft of everything that happens, I'm really interested in that other timeline that we got introduced to in the early episode that shows
like
us
the Oceanic Six stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, I'm interested in that timeline of things. Because of the loss of it all. I think there are definitely stakes. I'm afraid for the souls of all of these people, but
same,
also
yeah.
afraid that like a number of them could go to prison. Like what exactly is going on with Ty and is she just an undiagnosed person with DID?
Right.
That's been repressed this whole time because of trauma.
Yeah. And I think also the adult storyline, certainly we didn't really get to know the character as an adult very much. But even if you left the wilderness, doesn't mean you can't die. Travis, we lost. And this episode introduces this ticking clock component to Van, where she says, like, it's the bad kind. And so that's very intense. And I don't expect that to get resolved this season. But just the idea that just because they leave the wilderness doesn't mean that they can't leave the show. And like, what state will they be in? Because all of these people clearly have so much still to work through.
I know.
So, yeah, really intense.
A lot to work through. I'm worried about characters we didn't even like see very much of this episode, like Jeff. I am concerned that Jeff is going to just try to take the blame for all of this Shauna stuff and, you know, go out in a in a blaze of glory.
I'm almost getting rid of concern for that for me, because it's so inevitable that he's going to be like, it was me. Mm-hmm. I did it. That I'm just readying for like Kevin Tan to laugh in his face, basically, I feel like is how that's going to play.
Yeah. It's all just really bad. There was something about watching Lottie get the shit kicked out of her that really made me disengage a little bit from the episode, I have to say.
Interesting.
Because it's just really difficult to watch someone in a fight where they're not defending themselves and someone is just has that well of like anger and passion that they're just letting loose on a sacrificial lamb, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of shows we love, you know, I always want to save the kid. I always want to save the lamb. And I just felt like the bystander thing is very real and probably what would happen IRL, but also very just terrifying as a result of that being the case. I had to like disengage a little bit because they're playing one of my songs. They're like playing live.
Yeah.
They're dancing around in one timeline while Lottie is just getting her like card handed, like, you know, pulled.
Yeah. And I also think the implications of what that could mean for the modern storyline of I could feel it coming back again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just promises that shit's going to go very, very south for certainly currently it seems like Shauna.
Do you think that anyone's going to from the main cast of Yellow Jackets is going to die this season?
I could see the world where Lottie doesn't make it out.
Me too.
Okay. I can see
we're
that.
On the same wavelength then.
Yeah. If it was any of them, I would think that Lottie is pretty high on the list. Not that there isn't still so much to resolve with her storyline, but I think that there is a way in which like the idea of Lottie, it can be as powerful and maybe even more powerful than the person Lottie.
Yeah, that's true.
And like the ways in which, you know, if she was gone, what does that do to the rest of the group?
Yeah.
It feels almost silly to say it would be Lottie when Van is literally on the show being like, I shall be the one. You know, so I don't know.
No, I mean, it doesn't feel silly because that's actually the person that I was thinking of as well and wanted to see if I was the only one picking up on that. So,
yeah, it feels bad.
Yeah. I can't even discuss the Van stuff. I just can't have any more people that I care about die from cancer and have any more pop culture cancer.
And also like in the episode where she's as a child talking about like, I need to know why I'm still alive. Like the connection of that is really intense,
really intense.
This sort of like bridge across time and Van's lifelong questions about like her survivor guilt that's like clearly really alive even out there. And now she feels like she's facing the end of it. Like give that material to Lauren Ambrose.
I know
for sure. But also like, gosh, okay, this is really heavy, especially after this moment of, I don't know. Are we supposed to be happy that she and Ty got back together in that moment? Or is that bad?
I feel like it's not great.
Yeah.
You know, like what are the logistics of this? Ty has one office and not done her job once.
I don't think she showed up for work at all. Yeah. Some of the things that like season two has decided to redeem from season one is in like the coupon redemption.
Yeah.
And then some of which is like, nah, I don't need that. Like
no.
has been curious. Like, you know what? Let's push all in on Adam. But let's get out of like Ty just becoming like a state senator. That doesn't feel like such a big deal.
Yeah. Doesn't feel like a big deal anymore at all.
No,
I get that it's only been 5 days. The season is very much like Succession in that it covers like a week.
It's going slow as far as like the actual span of time. Yeah.
I don't know what I would do if I was one of these characters and this was my week.
I wouldn't be thrilled about it.
I might join an intentional community just to get away from it all.
All right. That sounds like patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
And could there be a graphic that makes it clear the call isn't a call, pending call?
All right.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Satisfied?
As soon as we can.
Great.
What's up?
You okay? What?
There's something in my eyes.
Well, speaking of elections, LaTanya, we must shift gears and talk about America Decides, what I described in my THR write-up as a horror show of an episode. Felt like, I don't know, you're the horror genre expert, LaTanya. Did this feel like a horror movie to you?
Yeah, and it feels like one I've seen before. So that
I know how that one ends.
Yeah, I know exactly how this ends.
Yeah, I mean, this guy a little more loquacious, I feel like, which is almost worse.
Worse. You know? Yeah. Ugh. You know who else was a great orator?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yay. I don't even want to bring that into this, but yes, I do.
Saying.
I do know the answer to that question. I've had you know, I got on the live show already. I'm going to talk about this a couple more times this episode. So I almost want to reserve my well of how much I have to engage with America Decides, but I think a very, very deliberately disturbing hour of television that I think rightly people are feeling like woof on the other side of.
Especially because this past week all of the court stuff happened with
Trump
Fox
Town Hall
News
too.
And Dominion and all the text messages about actually like pushing people to say things on air during the election that weren't true. This show sees the future.
I said this on the live recap that when I interviewed him, Justin Kirk said that it feels like not the world right now, but the world 5 minutes from now. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a really evocative hour of TV. Much has been made, I think, of people, you know, taking this episode as an opportunity to like defend certain factions of characters on the show. Like this is, I look at the Reddit quite a bit, and that feels like something that's going on there. And then a lot of people, other people like being exhausted from the, yeah, but they're all awful discourse. And it's like, I don't know what you want. You know, I don't know if we watched the same hour of TV. If you're like, I mean, I understand being tired of that discourse, but this episode is like a very, very critical reminder of who we've been spending time with on Succession.
Yeah. I would like to say that since day one, Roman Roy has been terrible.
Yeah.
We learned that in the pilot. We saw how he treated his brother during Too Much Birthday. We've seen Roman just be like a hair away from this kind of like megalomaniacal, like I'm doing anything for the deal. We can do business with this guy. For a while now. So it didn't just come out of nowhere. We've seen Kendall have just a terrible time trying to make decisions.
Human flip-flop.
Exactly. Yeah.
The sandal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandal Roy.
And then getting swayed by the most recent information, whether that is for the good of the Republic or even his own daughter. I felt for Shiv this whole episode because she's the only one in the room. Like Shiv is not like even Sarah Snook is like Shiv is not an altruist. Right. Like she's not an altruistic person, but like she does believe that democracy should exist. And she is begging her brothers and her husband and their stupid cousin to not lend legitimacy to a tyrant's run for president, and she's just being outflanked on every single side. Did I wish that Shiv was a better liar? Yes.
What about actually making the call? Should she have made the actual call?
I don't know why not, because she knows Nate's gonna say no.
Yeah. Like, you may as well just, like, come back armed with the authentic information. Well, look, it's a no, but we still can't do this.
Because why wouldn't you think that Kendall, who's been his friend forever, wouldn't just give him a call?
Yeah, it was, I think, as far as, like, just an, like on the analysis of the moves, you know, just, like, the moves that are made in this episode, that feels like one that was perhaps a misstep
There's a little bit of a misstep, as well as it seems not giving, throwing in a sweetener for Cousin Greg, though I do hope she kills him.
Yeah, her talking about eviscerating Cousin Greg was pretty iconic behavior.
It was great.
Pretty iconic behavior. But Greg, I feel like, again, in this episode, I think Greg continues to be like in a good position for Greg as as like the resolution of this story, at the expense of like all goodwill from the viewers. But everybody's cashing out. So
listen, he's suing Greenpeace.
He's been suing Greenpeace.
Yeah,
too,
exactly.
You know, for a while now.
I just love the look on Jess's face when she's just like, dude.
The Jess Jordan scene is gonna live with me for a long time.
Yeah.
And like it'll buy a few minutes. And it's like, what is a few minutes going to do? And like, that's a very real question. And then the other answer, like the other version of that is like, maybe somebody, like any minute on the clock is like is the possibility of someone being like, this is wrong and let's undo it.
Yeah.
But obviously Jess Jordan has seen a lot and she's been in this ecosystem for a bit. And so I feel so horrible, especially that corridor shot where she's alone. I feel like speaks to like the grandeur of the system that she is a part of. She is a part of the system. It is just, I thought that was a fascinating scene. There's just so much to unpack there.
And there's so much to unpack. There's so much to be said about the fact that like Kendall hires people of color.
Yeah.
Just to like bring them into this corrupt, like awful machine that he works in. Ficret and Jess were the only two things that he suggested in the buyout like last season, whenever he was, you know,
when he was trying to make the deal with his dad.
He was trying to make the deal with his dad.
Like, give me like a podcast.
Right. And $2 billion.
$2 billion, chunky assets. Give me Jess and Figret and I'm a ghost.
Exactly. Yeah. Terrifying. I know I say the word terrifying a lot. I'm a horror person and I like being scared. But this was not a way in which I felt comfortable being afraid.
Yeah.
This was like some real Get Out kind of scaries.
Yes.
As opposed to like a Scream kind of scared.
Well, that's, you know, if Succession starts going Ghostface killer, then I feel like that's the sign that they had not finished scripts before the writer's strike.
It's just and they summoned be Kendall the listening to Ghostface.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's as close to Ghostface killer as I think we're going to get. Yeah, it was very, very, very difficult. And I think the way in which it's going to play out in the next two episodes of like the consequences of their actions, will there be any?
Right.
And even if there are, which you imagine there definitely will be for some characters in certain ways, like, will it be enough? You know,
right.
And will it, you know, undo the cultural, like the cultural tsunami that they just unleashed in the way that they handled their media coverage of the election? Again, because the season is going through such a quick period of time, I can imagine the world where we never get a full, clear answer of how does the election actually resolve?
Yeah. Shout out also to I'm trying to find where his name now. Elliot Villar. Remember our friend
Fernando
Elliot
Vera.
Villar?
Yeah, of course. I'm a hug you, Elliot. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him win because he would have gone, I'm a hug you, Nate. You know?
Exactly. I
wouldn't mind seeing him putting Mencken in the trunk of a car, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can we please get a little crossover here? Mencken and his whole family.
Yeah, but very, very strange that it is not the erstwhile Fernando Vera who is saying F society in this episode. So.
And for my debate friends out there, yes, I do understand that this doesn't necessarily mean that Mencken won the election. Wisconsin law is that you have to account for all the votes. Like there all the absentee ballots, everything has to be counted before you can certify a winner. And this is definitely going to go to the courts, which we get from one of the characters can last anywhere from 3 to 6 months, if not longer. Like we've had this happen before in our democracy and it did not go the way that I wanted it to go. And it's just terrifying how much legitimacy, though, a certified news outlet can lend by projecting someone to be the president of the United States. Because then they give the speech. They, you know, other networks start to double check their numbers to make sure they feel as if they have to make a call at some point. And that media legitimacy that's given to someone, whether it's earned or not, is a very important step in actually controlling the narrative of who is the president of the United States.
Yeah, I hope that people who tune in to Succession really paid attention to this episode.
They didn't.
I hope so. Well, I think like once you shake the ickies a bit and like you think about what really went down in that episode, and when you do try to like map Succession onto reality, just feels like there's some stuff
to
take with you.
It does.
Away from your streaming services, you know?
And to the writers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, LaTanya. Well, America decided maybe not, but we must decide who won the week here on PSR versus, as it's week 8 of Succession versus Yellow Jackets. Would you like to call this prematurely?
Should I?
Yes. You know, listen.
It really is. It's your not call. My hands. It's your call. Call.
It's your call.
It's your call.
It's not mine.
It's not mine.
You.
I would like to have a speech from someone about how I'm a good guy first.
Yeah, you're pretty good. You're okay.
I think I'm a bad father. You're okay.
Yeah, you're okay.
You tried.
You know? That felt like a shout into her own future.
Really was channeling something. Right,
it's like
there.
She was time traveling.
We didn't
in
even
that
talk
moment.
About the pregnancy announcement.
Oh,
which...
well, I'm sure we've got moments to talk about.
That's true.
Because just to remind everybody on the categories that we're going through here on Succession versus Yellow Jackets, it is title card. Which episode has the better name? There's Boar on the Floor, the most shameful moment. There's Antler Queen, who is the biggest boss of the week. There's Piss Mad, as in, I cannot believe that happened. There's Music of the Night. There's the generational wealth. There's the generational trauma. There is Most Umami. It has that certain it factor. There's Most Heavily Effing Delayed. And then the episode overall. So let's go into this week where, for those of you just tuning in, if you missed last week because of a whole mess of half points that we assigned to Yellow Jackets due to its absence from the field, we rewarded it with points. There were systems in place and things that we chose, and
because of science.
Yeah, something votes on fire. So currently, it is 28-28. It is a tie between Succession and Yellow Jackets right now, even as Yellow Jackets won last week handily. Let us see what could happen here. So the title card, LaTanya, America Decides versus Burial. Are you leaning one way or the other?
I am. I'm leaning toward America Decide because
I am as well.
Decides because, of course, America didn't.
Yeah, I think that there's in sort of like the same way that Connor's wedding. Yeah, like that's not the thing.
No,
like, that wasn't it. But the irony then of like this huge story happening within this thing overshadowing its purpose, I think is great. And I think America Decides, it's like, but did we?
We didn't.
You know, like, is that really how this works? Or
no.
Is that a fairy tale?
If you lived in Milwaukee, your votes were firebombed.
You know, so like, I think that and Burial for me, I feel like Yellow Jackets could be so cheeky, high caloric cheekiness with their titles. And I feel like for two episodes now, maybe, I feel like we could have done a little better.
Or, could have done better.
You know, like, I feel like there's something in here.
The burial of the baby was like a big moment for Shauna. But yeah, there's just so much else. I'm not trying to like belittle it either.
No.
Obviously, no. That is a watershed moment in her life and existence.
Yeah, I think you call this episode self-care, and I think we have like a different conversation, you know? Okay, Born the Floor, the most shameful moment. So I think even if it doesn't end up being the thing that represents it for Succession, this is a great time to talk about how Tom reacted to the news that he is going to be the father of Shiv's child.
You know, they definitely don't come back from this.
Really hard to see it. You know, very, very difficult to see that path.
Like, Tom is the worst for so many reasons.
Yeah.
Like, he tracked this woman's menstrual cycle without her permission so that he could try to get her pregnant so that if he went to prison, then she would then, quote unquote, have company.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And that's obviously not the reason that he wanted to do it. And now she's like felt in such, she's felt like she's been in such a position that she couldn't even tell him until it just kind of like came out in a word slop that she was pregnant. And he accused her of using a tactic, and just the look on poor Sarah Snook's face when this happened, it's just like, really? Like, are things this bad?
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tough. Unbelievable episode for Sarah Snook though.
Oh yeah.
Really, 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 excellently done. But that scene was, you know, let's call that shameful. There's so much shame to go around though, in this episode,
oh my gosh.
Whether it was like, all of these various individuals trying to push responsibility downhill, whether it's Roman shamelessly trying to nestle his head into the bosom of Nazism, you know, there's just, who wasn't shameful in this episode? Like, there's a couple of people who like I feel for, but even everybody makes choices in this episode that are like actively not great.
Really bad.
You know, Willa watching from the sidelines and the horror that she has when she hears the Conheads are coming is among the closest to like, oh gosh, you might be realizing that we're in a problem place.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, she's down to have breakfast in Uzbekistan. I forget what they said.
Dubrovnik. Where having...
Dubrovnik, yes. You know, like, at any cost, I guess. You know, I don't know. It's bad. It was very shameful, LaTanya. This is a horrifically shameful episode of Succession, and Yellow Jackets has to put up something pretty big in order to offset the stink of shame all over Succession this week.
For Succession, I will say Roman ruined the Republic in just one night of quote unquote good TV.
Yeah.
He gave legitimacy to a Nazi.
Yeah.
So that's not great in terms of shame. Although, you know, Shiv has said it. We don't get embarrassed. He was fine with it. He doesn't care who the president is.
No.
And even though he has the power to make it so. And I would have to say that Shauna beating someone near to death while everyone just stood around and watched is pretty shameful.
Who is it more shameful for, Shauna or the people who stood around and watched?
It's a great question.
Yeah. So Lottie was like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And like, Lottie, no one...
what are you doing?
Yeah, like maybe like two hits.
Right.
You know? Like two hits.
You
like,
don't get to just go in on my kidneys.
Yeah. Dead arm and a Charlie horse and move on. You know? Maybe not like, I don't know, beat me within inches of my life.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. While no one is able to like be like, that looks like murder.
Right. Not one person.
Yeah.
They were all horrified by it, but they did nothing. And they were right there.
Yeah. They have the excuse of being stranded in the wilderness where they are being forced to eat each other.
That's true. Whereas the people of Succession are just coddled billionaires.
Their
Connor
debates,
will let you know.
Their debates about food boil down to Roman didn't get enough steak as a child, so
right.
the world is going to have to be set on
just
fire as a result.
Just you had to eat a lot of chicken, that means I need to like a fascist.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite lines.
And he says yes. He says yes to that. So I don't think I can let anyone on Succession off the hook where like push comes to shove. I think I could for the Yellow Jackets.
I'm not letting anyone off the hook on Succession.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Shame. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Okay. So that's 2 points for Succession, 0 for Yellow Jackets so far. Antler Queen, biggest boss of the week. I'm not going to say. I'm not calling that election for anybody, so I'm not going to say that it was Mencken is the biggest boss of the week. But as far as who got their way,
it's definitely Roman.
It's definitely Roman.
And I hate it. I hate it.
Let me ask you a question, and if I'm good at my job, I'll remember to ask Rob this question too. Are we witnessing the rise of the Roman Empire or the fall of the Roman Empire?
I think the fall. The wonderful and talented Joanna Robinson talked about the upcoming episode, and it is a trailer for the ages. If you all have not seen this trailer, you have to see it. It's so freaking good.
This feels like the Dark Knight trailer where Heath Ledger is like, to them, you're just a freak. Like
exactly.
Me. Like it feels like Roman has gone full Joker for the penultimate hour of Succession.
And Joanna said that whenever you see the dress rehearsal of something, then the performance is either going to go really, really good or really, really bad. And
this
because
this is like the Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan logic that they would talk about on Better Call Saul all the time. It's like,
yes.
if we're showing you the plan but not explaining it to you, then maybe the plan's going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's given that this man boy has not worked out any of his issues surrounding the actual death of his father, I have a feeling that standing in front of his casket and trying to deliver a eulogy in front of like the world is going to do it for him.
Probably not. It's hard to say, because then I think between Living Plus and and Tailgate Party, how like needles didn't move all that much. And so part of me is a little alarmed that the needle won't move that much more going into this second to last episode. And if that's the case, then like Roman's still on top.
He's gonna lose it.
I hope he topples the way that he sits on furniture, clumsily and memorably awkwardly.
He's gonna try to crawl into that casket.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to get him off.
Who is the Antler Queen on Yellow Jackets? Broad question, notwithstanding. Who is the Antler question on Yellow Jackets?
Who is it
this episode?
That's hard to pick, because none of these people are really like living their best. I guess only Misty seems to be like in a state of happiness, and now she's realized she's in love. And
is the biggest boss of the week not Caligula?
That was amazing. John Cameron Mitchell just makes me so happy. He was in The Sandman, made me happy there.
Must not have gotten that far. Or I just don't remember The Sandman very much.
Yeah.
That's also possible. Likely. I enjoyed what I watched.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Just a lot of TV.
I had to look up. I was like, was he in The Sandman? And then the answer was yes.
What was the A.D. Bryant show? Shrill?
Shrill.
Yeah, he was really good in that. He's a messy character. Messy character in that show.
I love it when he's messy.
Yeah, I think
Caligula's pretty messy.
Caligula would be on my list for bosses of the week. Misty calls out some shots in this episode in the past, but that is like also, I don't know that she can wear that hat for me in this episode. I don't know who else is an alternative. Lottie's like trying to tell everybody, let's get out of here. Like you should all leave. And she's like, ghost therapizing herself.
Yeah.
But they all then just like hang out and be friends again.
She's just been talking to the Antler Queen.
Yeah.
What if we're all wrong about who like the Antler Queen is, like meta question, and it's just one of the gods of the wilderness?
Yeah, I think that that's, I think like the Antler Queen is a vibe more than the Antler Queen is a person feels right to me.
Okay.
Like gods or vibes, I guess is I'm agreeing with you. So I mean, if that's the case, then like that Antler Queen apparition in the Lottie office would be a candidate here as well.
I like the idea of giving it to Caligula, though. I really do.
Well, I want to give it to Caligula because I really don't want to give it to Roman, and then I just don't think that there's anyone else that I would give it to in Yellow Jackets over the success of Roman. But Caligula showed up and like changed what genre Yellow Jackets was for a solid 5 minutes.
That's true.
And turned it into like a total Lynchian thing, and I guess like comfortably on Showtime, Yellow Jackets: The Return.
Uh-huh.
So I'm happy to go Caligula because I don't think I want to vote for the fascists.
Yeah, because Roman just signed up to endorse lynchings.
Cool. So let's get away from that. Let's go to David Lynch instead. I think that's where I'm going to live. All right. A point to the Antler Queen for Yellow Jackets, Caligula. The Piss Mad, I Can't Believe That Happened award. Where to begin? The sad thing is, like, I can totally believe that happened.
No.
Like, you know?
I can't believe that Roman Roy, are you joking me? Roman Roy is the person who orchestrated the quote-unquote win of a president. Roman Roy.
Yeah, I believe it because that guy's really good at blowing shit up. Like, what is this if not the rocket launching into space and not even getting that far and just exploding on the platform?
It's the same thing. It's going to take out some thumbs for sure.
At the least. you know what else I can't believe happened this week is that in the middle of all of this, in the thick of this really stressful, upsetting, PTSD-inducing episode, poor Adam Godfrey gets wasabied in the face. You know, like Darwin taking
Darwin.
Taking the spicy mustard to the eye.
Adam Godfrey fans, stand up, because if you were like me, you spent the weekend watching The Great, and then
Adam Godley, my apologies. Yes.
And then you turned up and decided to watch Succession, and he was there too.
Uh-huh.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
He was just following me all weekend.
He's hanging around. He's hanging around. Could you believe that happened?
No. there's a lot of things about Succession I can't believe. I can't believe that Kendall chose to blow up the deal over his own. Well, actually, I can believe that he chose that over his daughter.
Yes.
This show.
Yeah.
Who do we like? Kendall's like my favorite character.
Listen, none of them is totally fine. You could be so compelled by them and not like them is a totally acceptable position. That's where
Kendall,
I find myself.
Kendall and Shiv are like up there in terms of my favorite, but Kendall is my number one boy.
Sometimes, despite myself, this season especially, I find myself liking Connor.
I know.
It's so exciting to be in an election. You know,
he is so funny. He was like, "Am I still a billionaire?" Yes.
Uh huh. Sorry. That was so good. And then
I really
also
can't believe that he gave that speech.
But also, he gives this speech in the intimacy of like his campaign suite when it's clear that he has definitively lost, that has you know 0.0 shot at this point. And even then, it's like he's turning it on for the history books,
right?
Where he's like, no. No, I shan't become that. I shan't become that.
I shan't.
Like,
alas.
That's because there's like people in the room who are going to write down his words.
Right.
Connor Roy is a lot.
Yeah.
Connor Roy is a lot.
I love him. I love Connor. Listen, he took young Roman on a fishing trip once.
That was a good thing that he did. That was a good thing he did. I just love the show. So a lot that I can't believe that happened on Succession. a lot I couldn't believe happened on Yellow Jackets, yeah, too. Totally believe that Adam was discovered. That makes sense. That had to come out here, I think. Couldn't believe that Twin Peaks sequence. That was not on my bingo card at all.
I had no idea where that part of the credits was going to come into the show. But the way that it came in was, I was not suspecting a little, even a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was very, very well done. I can't believe that Van has cancer.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I can totally believe that violence would be committed out in the wilderness, mm-hmm, that the mm-hmm fellow Yellow Jackets would sanction, because it's the premise of the show.
Uh-huh.
So I guess ultimately it just comes down to which episode had a more shocking quality to you. Twas it Succession? Twas it Yellow Jackets?
For some reason, and because maybe we've been through all of this before, for me it was Succession.
Yeah.
There were just like a lot of things that I could not believe were happening on my television screen. And that's very like reminiscent of 2016.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not want to think the characters were capable of this.
I think for me, I'll back you on this, for Succession. And like, it's less that I can't believe these people would do it. I can't believe you've done this. Like I can believe you've done this,
yeah,
for sure. And I can believe that this happens. But what it did was it took me all the way back to that, I can't believe this is happening feeling. So yeah, like, as far as like the show, you know, throwing you through time, I do feel like I got like lifted up out of like the claws came out of the TV and like threw me into a portal, and it, yeah, was horrible.
It was
somehow
awful.
I made it back in time for podcast.
And yet he persisted.
And yet, such is my lot in life. I'm nothing if not persevering at all times. The music of the night is established. It goes to Yellow Jacket.
It has to. I can feel it coming back again.
As always, shouts to the score of Succession and Nicholas Britell. But yeah. Yellow Jackets has 90s music that makes me feel like a kid again. I can feel it coming back again. So that's on it. And also that is representing the Caligula stuff. Okay. Generational wealth. Well, Lottie's compound is lit and we get to see like a lot of various different forms of therapy. Meanwhile, on Succession, the Roys bought a president. Of the United States of America, I should
right,
say.
Right, this
yeah,
one.
Like, that one.
I'm sure they bought plenty of presidents in other countries.
Yeah.
Before, but it's when we start talking about America that it really matters.
Yeah, so unless you're going to disagree, I think generational wealth is very sincerely bought by yeah, Succession this time yep, around. I think I would also posit that generational trauma is a Succession win this week.
Okay, I'd like to hear it.
I'll argue it. The fate of the country effectively came down to steak versus chicken.
Oh, my God.
It effectively came down to mom and dad didn't give me what I wanted for dinner, and they always gave you what you wanted for dinner, and now I need you to back me up, and we need to vote for steak.
That's fair.
That's why the country in the world of Succession is going to be in a nightmare place, and probably could extrapolate from there, applying mm-hmm, that broadly to real life. Clearly lots of trauma happening on Yellow Jackets as well.
Thought she was gonna have to kill yeah, a goat.
Yeah.
Like that's immediately where her mind jumped. Is you're just gonna give me this goat to take care of so I can murder it, aren't you?
Well, it's because she's the butcher. That's her specialty. She's like the queen of the meats out in the wild.
Yeah, not a lot of eating goat meat.
Not yet.
Like swanky, you know, wherever they're, what do they call it? And intentional living or intentional community?
Right. Yes.
It's so swanky there. Did you see all the different types of juice they had?
No, I missed all the different juices.
Yeah, it looked amazing. I want to go to there.
I would like juice.
I love the color purple. The book, the play.
And the uniforms.
Movie and the uniforms.
All right, where are you throwing your vote?
Generational trauma is hard, but I mean, you did package up an excellent argument. Like, if I'm just judging a debate here, I would vote for Succession.
Also, Kendall actively deciding to traumatize his children.
Yeah.
Having been traumatized by his father, if that's not the poison trickles down, you know?
I'm not going to let them push you. And it immediately gives away. I mean, also the fact that, like, now they're going to have to fight for their lives to ever be allowed to be in the political conversation again.
Yeah.
Because if this stuff comes out in court, they are screwed.
Boned.
Like, that was a Darwinism that was stated very early in the episode, that we could be dropped from, like, the National Elections Commission. So,
right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
I could see them doing that, like, immediately after their father's death. It's just getting all of the remaining validity taken away. But
assuming the survival of institutions.
Exactly.
Such. Yes.
Chicken versus steak, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
There'll have to be state media. So ATN is going to be alive and well.
Steak media. Okay. we've got that on the board. Umami, that certain it factor. So, like, I want to vote for Yellow Jackets, I think. Because of the Caligula stuff made me feel really happy, but I don't know that, like, the happy I got was more than the sad I got from you, Succession. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
As far as, like, which episode of TV made me feel away, I wasn't, like, moonwalking down the hall and, like, dancing with a top hat after watching Yellow Jackets, but I was just sort of staring in the mirror with pale complexion after watching Succession. So
I always keep my top hat handy.
You do. You do. And I've always admired that about you.
Just in case. You never know what it could add to an outfit.
Yeah.
Listen, the it factor in Succession is all about the decay of traditional American institutions. And that's a tough pill to swallow. It's certainly a lot easier to be down with Caligula doing a dance and smoking a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. It might be a draw.
Yeah, maybe. Because I my heart goes Yellow Jackets.
The rest of you?
My entire, like, central nervous system.
Yeah.
go Succession. I'm good to draw it. Let's just put it there. Most heavily effing delayed. I'm not entirely sure where to go with these this week.
Well, Shiv finally telling her husband that she's pregnant. That was pretty delayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's been. Yeah.
It's the second podcast that I've been on this week where that song has been sung.
It's been this week. Yeah.
So that was pretty delayed.
Sure. What about Yellow Jackets? What was delayed on Yellow Jackets? The discovery of Adam's remains. That was heavily effing delayed.
That was pretty delayed. Yeah.
I think that would maybe get my vote.
I just can't believe that there were remains. Like, I thought Misty took care of it. Did she not, like, burn them? Or
I thought that she took care of it too. So maybe Misty worse at being a serial killer than advertised.
Yeah.
All right, so it's between Adam's remains and I guess the remains of Tom and Shiv's marriage, sort of. So do you have a strong leaning?
I'm leaning toward Tom and Shiv's remains.
Okay.
This episode just gutted me in a way that I don't think Yellow Jackets did.
Yeah.
Yellow Jackets had a moment that was, like, terrifying to watch.
Yes.
But the whole of Succession, like, changed the way that, like, my circulatory system worked.
Well, so just to, like, move on and maybe put a pin in this question for now. So to move on to the final category of episode overall, how do you equate it if, like, this was not an enjoyable episode of Succession to watch, but when it makes you feel the way it does with that level of, like, intention? I don't know. Where does it stack against Yellow Jackets this week for you?
That's a great question. It the level of intention is really important. The look at what, like, how easy it is to like what, how precarious everything is. Like, I think that this was kind of like a cry out from, you know, people who saw what happened in 2016 to like people who are considering their choices for the next election, to be like, listen, do you see how easily things can get swayed by a media organization that doesn't play by the rules because it invents its own rules?
Right.
It just feels like heavily important, in addition to making me feel so queasy that I can still feel it today.
Yeah. I think I'm a vote for America Decides.
Yeah.
I am not eager to rewatch it anytime soon. Maybe we'll skip it in the future. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, things are probably going to get really unpleasant here with two episodes left still. So it's like, maybe we've signed on for unpleasantness at this point.
We have.
You know,
we're going to a funeral next week. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be dark. Okay. I'm with you on America Decides. And then, I think, just in terms of like how long it's been since Adam's been buried. That I feel like, gosh, I've just wanted them to find it so we could just like move on. Like, can we begin the moving on process? So for me, I do think it's Adam's remains. So if you're Tom and Shiv, I think we're drawing there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're drawing there. So this is where it stands. Succession has pulled ahead after being walking into this week at a tie. 6 points to Succession, 2 points to Yellow Jackets, two categories undecided, 34 Succession, 30 Yellow Jackets, two episodes of both seasons of television remaining. Yellow Jackets season 2 episode 8 is called It Chooses. Succession season 4 episode 9, Church and State, as in is there any separation
between the two?
So curious times here on the Versus podcast. Chonky episodes to talk through, LT. Always a pleasure to go through a nightmare with you.
I know. I feel the same way. Yeah. This was terrible. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. Same time next week. All right, folks. If you want to make sure that you're here for next week's nightmare, you want to subscribe. postshowrecaps.com/versus is the RSS link. Search by URL. Plug that in. You will find us. You can also search Post Show Recaps Versus wherever you get your pods. Stick around and find out what's going to happen on the other side of Succession versus Yellow Jackets. If you want to follow LaTanya on the internet, she's going to tell you how to do that and also what she's in the middle of doing.
Yeah. So I am at LK Starks on Twitter, at Stormborn1222 on Instagram. In addition to doing this lovely show with you, Josh, I am talking Love and Death, which is something that we talk a lot about every week as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is the actual show, Love and Death, an HBO television program starring Elizabeth Olsen. And it is very, very, it's starting to get good. Like, it's starting to justify its existence as a television show.
How much time left on the clock?
I don't know how many episodes there are. Are there 9 episodes? And I think that was the 5th.
Okay, so
yes, you know, there's, yeah,
a little late, but not too late.
It's late.
Yeah.
And Sarah Carradine and I are having a lot of fun podcasting about it, even if it's a ridiculous show to watch. So
yes,
it's all that really matters. I am also talking about the final season of Barry because someone called me the closer because I talk about so many final seasons.
Look at you.
I like it.
Yeah.
With Mike Bloom, and he and I are having a really fun time trying to figure out what the hell is going on that show. But it's been a lot of fun to work with him. So if you enjoy Mike Bloom as much as I do, then please tune in to our coverage of the final season of Barry, where we will say words about what we see on the screen.
Words are important.
Some would say.
Certainly to this medium.
Did you write Mencken's speech?
Uh-huh. No, I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Let me be very clear. I did not. I had nothing to do with it.
And then you can find me over at RHAP talking about Top Chef with Haley Strong and Kurt Clark. We had a double episode this past week, which was very exciting and something that none of us had ever done before. So tune in for that. If you want to hear all of our hilarious takes about Top Chef season 20, international all-stars, then you only need listen to that podcast.
Okay. Strong advice.
Yeah.
It's the only one that you need. Well, I'm here. I'm podcasting about stuff on the Succession front. Next stop for me is the Rob and Josh show. Then we'll have the wrap-up show at the end of the week as well. And then it's going to start all over again, both for Succession as well as for Yellowjacket. So only 2 weeks remaining of this iteration of Versus. Only 2 weeks remaining for Succession ever. And only 2 weeks remaining for Yellowjackets this season. Time's flying, LT.
It really is.
Well,
I'm not prepared.
We're going to fly as well now. Until next time, everybody, take care. Bye-bye. And please do buzz off.